Hello, this program is called Transforming Grace, and it's brought to you each week by the Institute for Biblical Preaching in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. My name is Roger Pasco, and I welcome you in the name of the Lord. I trust as we study God's Word together today that your life will be transformed by the grace of God, and that you'll be blessed as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, before we start our Bible study together today, let's pray. Lord, I commit this study to you and everyone who is listening. I pray for them in their own lives that you would touch their lives, bless them. I pray that you would convict and challenge us today from your word so that our lives are changed and we become more like you. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing on from where we left off last week in John chapter 10, picking it up around verse 2. You'll remember that we're speaking about Jesus' I am statements, and in this passage Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. And we began to notice last week that Jesus is telling giving an illustration of the comparison or the contrast between true shepherds and false shepherds of God's people. False shepherds or false religious leaders, he calls thieves and robbers, who climb up the outside of the sheepfold in order to steal the sheep, whereas true shepherds come in through the door of the sheepfold and they call their sheep and their sheep follow them. So there is an entirely different relationship between a true shepherd and the sheep than there is between thieves and robbers and the sheep. And there's an entirely different motive, different objective, different purpose, different means that they carry on their work. Thieves and robbers, we all understand how they break into houses, they steal other people's goods and take them. And robbers, of course, not only steal what isn't theirs, but they also break in and perhaps destroy your property or even hurt you if you happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. All of that, of course, is completely in contrast to a shepherd who cares for his sheep. He nurses them when they're sick. He provides good food and water and protects them from danger. So we're picking it up then in verse 2. Let's start at verse 1 in John chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly, Jesus says, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So this is the illustration that Jesus is using to describe the contrast between false religious leaders, who are the thieves and robbers, and true religious leaders who are shepherds of God's people, God's sheep. And shepherds enter by the door, and the door, as he says in verse 7, is he himself. Jesus is the door, and shepherds come in through Jesus. In other words, they are followers of Jesus. They have put their faith and trust in Jesus. They are Christians. They are Christian believers, and they are shepherds of God's people. And I want you to notice five characteristics of these leaders and their sheep, of true leaders of God's people. First is, they lead God's people by generating in them a response. Generating in them a response. Look to what it says in verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens, that is the shepherd, the doorkeeper. That's the doorkeeper who watches the door of the sheepfold at night to make sure no robbers break in or no wild animals break in and hurt the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So here's the picture. The picture is of sheep in a sheepfold. They're secure in there. They're safe. There's a door and a doorkeeper who watches over them through the night to make sure that nothing hurts or harms them or steals them. And when the day comes, then the shepherd comes, and he comes in through the door, and he calls his sheep by their name, and he leads them out. Well, true shepherds of God's people generate in God's people, in the sheep, a response. Look at what he means here. The doorkeeper, you see, responds by opening the door. When the doorkeeper hears the shepherd's voice, he knows it's the shepherd, he knows it's not an intruder, it's not a thief or a robber, and he opens the door. He responds by opening the door. He recognizes the voice of a true shepherd and responds by letting him in. It's just as though someone came to your house, a friend of yours, and knocked on your door, and you said, "Who's there?" And they said, "It's me, it's your friend," and you recognize their voice, you open the door, and they come in. That's the picture here of the doorkeeper in the sheepfold, watching over the sheep for the shepherd throughout the night to keep them safe, and he hears the shepherd's voice in the morning and opens the door to let him in. He gives ready access to the sheepfold for those who come in by the door. And so only the shepherd, you see, comes in by the door. Anyone who's a thief and a robber isn't going to try to come in through the door because the watchman won't let them in. And besides, they don't want to be caught stealing, so they try to get in some other way. The sheep also respond. Not only the doorkeeper, but the sheep also respond by hearing the shepherd's voice. They know him. They hear and recognize the voice of their own shepherd. They know, even if it was another shepherd, they would know that it's not their own shepherd's voice and they wouldn't follow him. And that's a wonderful illustration to us that we need to, first of all, know God's voice when God is speaking through his word and through our conscience. And in our spirits, when God is speaking, we need to know that it's God's voice and not the voice of some false teacher, for example, or some other person or philosophy who's trying to lead us in the wrong direction. We need to be able to recognize the truth of God's word when we hear his voice. We need to know Jesus' voice in particular, that he's our Savior, he's our Shepherd, he's our Redeemer. And when he speaks, true sheep, his sheep, know his voice, and they follow him, you see. So true shepherds lead God's people by generating in them a response, opening the door and hearing and knowing his voice. And then secondly, they lead God's people by issuing to us a call. The true shepherd issues a call to their own sheep. He says, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice," and he calls his own sheep by name. They know their sheep individually, you see. Good shepherds know each sheep. To us, when we look at sheep, they all look the same. They sound the same. But to a shepherd, they're all different. And they know their sheep individually. They know their own the personalities of each sheep. They know different markings that they have that make them look different. They walk differently, or they feed differently, or whatever it may be. They know their sheep individually. They have a personal knowledge of God's sheep who are under their care. And we're talking, of course, about the leaders of God's people, the shepherds of the church. That's why we call our leaders pastors. It's just another word for a shepherd. They are the shepherds whom God has appointed to take care of his sheep. And true shepherds call their own sheep by name. It's not just a general call. They don't just call out to the sheep in general. They don't just appeal to the congregation, if you will, as a whole. But they call their own sheep by name. And in the East, shepherds still name their sheep, each one, by some sort of characteristic of that sheep that identifies perhaps that sheep as a black face or some other identifying mark. And the shepherds in the eastern part of the world name their sheep by that particular characteristic. The true shepherds know their followers, individually and personally. There's no confusion, you see, about who is being called. They are fully identified and known. And Jesus knows his sheep by name. He knows us individually. He knows our own characteristics. He knows our likes and dislikes. He knows our good points and our bad points. He knows our strong points and our weak points. He knows all about us. He knows how we think. He knows how we speak. He knows our personality. He knows how we relate to other people. He knows everything about us. We are fully identified and known by the good shepherd of the sheep, who is Jesus. And of course, the under-shepherds, the pastors of his people in our churches, our church leaders, they know us by name as well. They know our identity. They know our individuality. They know our personality and our characteristics. That's an identifying mark of a true shepherd. They call their own sheep, and those sheep know them by their voice, but also they know them because they call them by name. Isn't that a wonderful thing, not only to know that God knows us by name, he knows us individually, he knows all about us, but also that the pastors whom God has appointed in our churches, if they are true shepherds of his people, they know us and they care about us individually. They know all about our life circumstances, about our trials and about our joys, about our successes and about our failures. And they enter into them with us. They help us to bear our burdens and they share with us our joys. Well, the first characteristic of a true shepherd, true leader of God's sheep, is that they lead God's people by generating in us a response, and they lead God's people by issuing to us a call. And then the third characteristic about true religious leaders is that they lead God's people by giving us direction. Look what it says at the end of verse 3. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. That is to say, he leads them out of the sheepfold, using that illustration. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And so, true shepherds of God's people give us direction. They lead the sheep out of the sheepfold. Only those who are his own hear the shepherd's voice. Other sheep don't hear his voice because they don't recognize it. The sheep that belong to another shepherd wouldn't respond to our shepherd because he has an entirely different voice, and besides, he doesn't know their names. He doesn't call them by name. He doesn't respond to them, and they don't respond to him. Only those who are his own hear the shepherd's voice and follow him. You see, there's a direct connection between recognizing the shepherd's voice and following him. And so if another shepherd comes along, first of all, the sheep won't recognize his voice, and if they don't recognize his voice, they don't follow him. And we see that with our own pets, don't we? A dog or something like that. They recognize our voices, and we call them by their own name, and they understand that, and they follow us. So it is with sheep. And this, of course, is being applied to God's sheep, God's people. Only those who are his own sheep, his own people, hear his voice and follow him. Not all sheep follow the same shepherd. There are other shepherds, but Jesus is speaking of them in this particular illustration as false shepherds. In other words, they have no right to call or to lead his people. Not all sheep follow the same shepherd. Only those who know his voice. And the voice that we know is the voice of God, the voice of Jesus. There are all kinds of other voices in the world calling out to us, trying to get us to follow them. There are voices of false leaders and false religions. There are false philosophies. There are the voices of wealth and prosperity and all other kinds of incentives that try to get us to follow them. But we don't recognize their voice. They're not our shepherd. And their message is not according to God's word. Those belonging to false shepherds do not respond to the voice of Jesus, you see, because they only respond to the voice of the false shepherd. But we respond to the voice of Jesus because he has called us. into a relationship with Him by faith. We've put our faith and trust in Him for time and for eternity. We've had our sins washed away by His work on Calvary's cross. He's our shepherd, and we know His voice. We know the truth of His word, and when He calls us, we follow. But those belonging to false shepherds, they don't respond. They don't know Jesus' voice. They don't want to know Jesus' voice. Just like these Pharisees that Jesus had been speaking to and about in chapter 9. They didn't respond to Jesus. The blind man in chapter 9 certainly did. He had his sight restored, and he recognized and acknowledged who Jesus is. And he became a disciple, a sheep, if you will, a follower of Jesus. But the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they didn't recognize Jesus for who He was, and they didn't want to know Him, and they didn't respond to Him, they didn't follow Him. So those belonging to false shepherds don't respond to the true shepherd. He brings out only His own sheep and goes before them, verse 4 says. When He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them. True shepherds lead their sheep. They don't try to lead somebody else's sheep, nor do they drive their sheep. Notice it says He leads them. Unlike other customs where the shepherd drives the sheep in front of them, in the Middle East, in Palestine, the shepherds lead their sheep. And that's the context that Jesus is speaking in here in John chapter 10, is the first century in Palestine where these Middle Eastern shepherds lead their sheep. They walk on and their sheep follow them. And this is very important for us to understand, that true shepherds lead their sheep. They don't drive them. They don't stand behind them with a big stick and tell them to go on, to get ahead. No, what they do is they go out in front. They mark the way. They show the path, and their sheep follow them because they trust them, you see. They follow them because they know the shepherd is going to take them in the right direction. They follow them because they know the shepherd is going to take them to a nice green grass and green pastures to feed and to cool waters to drink. They follow the shepherd because they know that at nighttime he's going to take them to the sheepfold, where they'll be safely enclosed and looked after by the doorkeeper, by the keeper of the sheepfold. And when Jesus calls His disciples, He said to them, "Follow Me." And so you see the connection here between this true shepherd and how Jesus called His disciples. He called them and said, "Follow Me." That's what He's speaking about here. True shepherds lead their sheep. They don't drive them in front of them. Jesus said to Peter and James and John and others, "Follow Me." That's what He says, asks of us. "Follow Me." That's what they did. They left all and they followed Him, it tells us in Luke 18 and verse 28. And when Jesus calls us in our lives, when we came to faith in Him, we followed Him. That's what He's asking us to do, follow Him. That's what disciples do. They follow their master, their teacher, their leader. And Jesus is speaking of His leadership here in terms of a shepherd. And just as the sheep who belong to the shepherd know His voice, and He calls them out of the sheepfold and they follow Him, so Jesus calls us to follow His leadership. False leaders of the Pharisees, they didn't lead. They drove the people with a heavy whip, a whip of rules and regulations, which even they themselves as leaders didn't keep. But they made the people keep them, and they drove them with these heavy burdens, trying to keep the law and all these rules that they made for them, rules and regulations which it was impossible for them to keep. And so they weren't true shepherds, you see. They were laying on them a burden rather than freeing them and giving them liberty and life. Instead of giving them food, they gave them rules to follow. And they didn't care, you know, whether they were fed and watered or not. They didn't care whether their lives were happy and whether they were healed of their diseases and so forth. All they cared about was that they dominated over them and placed all these burdens upon them. What a difference from the leadership that Jesus followed when he called his disciples and said, "Follow me," and he provided for all of their needs. Well, by going before them, you see, the true shepherd makes the decision as to the direction for the sheep. As to the direction. He decides where they're going to go. Are they going to go left when they come out of the sheepfold, or are they going to go right? Are they going to go to a place with good food and good grass and good water, or are they going to go to a place that's barren and dry? No, the good shepherd is going to decide to take them in the right direction. He makes that decision. He goes and checks out the countryside so as to make sure that he takes them in the right way so that they will be well cared for. And by going before them, the true shepherd ensures that they feed in good pasture. And the good shepherd, by going before them, only requires that the sheep go where he goes. You know, he doesn't say, "Well, there you go, now you're out of the sheepfold for today, have a good day, and when it becomes evening, then come back here and you can find shelter in this sheepfold again." No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't send them out on their own to find their own way and to find their own food and water. He goes before them. He takes them. He says, "Follow me." And they trust him. They know that he's not going to take them somewhere where they'll be attacked by wolves or where they will be thirsty and hungry. And so he only requires that the sheep go where he goes. And the true shepherd meets obstacles before the sheep do. You see, by going in front of them, by leading them, he meets any obstacles before the sheep do. If there are rivers that have to be crossed, or if there are potholes in the road, or if there, you know, if he comes across something that might be not good for his sheep to experience, he meets that situation before they do and takes care of it. And so you see how the true shepherd leads the sheep. He goes before them and he calls them to follow him. And so that sets the pattern for our church leaders, our pastors, those who have the rule over us in our churches. Does this characterize them? Are they true shepherds who go before us? They lead the way and they call us to follow them. They check out all of the way that the church is going and the ministries that we're engaged in, and they decide which direction to go that's good for the sheep. They go in the direction that the Bible focuses us on, and as they listen to God's voice, they take their people in that direction, and they bring them to good pasture. They feed them with the Word of God. They feed you every week with good nourishing food, spiritual food. And they only require that you go where they go. They don't live in luxurious homes when you live in poverty. They don't expect you to do things that they wouldn't do themselves. And if there are obstacles in the way, they meet them head on and deal with them so that they protect you from any dangers in the way. That's the characteristics of a true shepherd. They go before them. They call their sheep, their own sheep. They go before them, and the sheep follow them, for they know his voice. Well, we've looked at those two characteristics of true shepherds of God's people. Firstly, they lead God's people by generating in them a response of opening the door and hearing his voice and knowing him. And then they lead God's people by issuing us a call. They call to us, they call us by name, and we follow them. And then thirdly, I guess we saw three characteristics. The third one is they lead God's people by giving us direction. Well, these are wonderful characteristics so that we can know that the people that we're following are true shepherds and not false shepherds or false thieves and robbers. I hope that's true in your church, in your life. That you have good shepherds who care for you, who know you, and lead you in the right direction. So we've come again to the end of this week's Bible lesson. The time seems to go by so quickly each week. I hope that you enjoy our Bible study times together. I wish I could meet you all one day we'll meet in heaven. Even though I don't get to meet you, though, I appreciate your listening and learning with me each week. And if this is your first time to listen at this program, be sure to join us again next week at the same time. And until then, when we're together on this program, may God bless you.